Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
It's time for the Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Hey, Round Daddy.
The Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Me, James Strebel, Big Daddy.
With your host, James Strebel.
Hey, Round Daddy, James Strebel. Gotcha.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Louisville reached out. That pulled out the heartstrings a little bit, and it was very unique in a lot of ways.
16 years.
But there was also some challenging family dynamics of, my dad's not real excited about that for me right now. There's still some, he's not happy with the way it ended there, and I understand that. So it wasn't like this, I'm dying for that job. That wasn't it at all. And I wasn't real disappointed when they say, hey, we're going to go hire Pat Kelsey. There was not one part of me that was down about it.
Welcome back. It's the Roundtable, ESPN 680, 105.7. Been a busy show today. Been a good show today. Anna Tarullo with me. I'm James Strebel. Zach Cantrell behind the board. 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. We'll get Jack Grossman in here in just a moment. 27 area locations. Get ready for Thunder over Louisville with our good friends at Cox's and Evergreen Liquors. And today's the day, folks. It's Wednesday. Buy three, get one free cigars. We appreciate them and everything they do for us. They're Derby 150 headquarters. They've got the wine, all the good beer, domestic, craft, imported, whatever you want. They have mixers, bourbons, everything you need. Cox and Evergreen Liquors is Louisville Gold's new liquor store. CoxandLouisville.com. Before we get Jack Grossman in here, Lottie Stockwell was in the house.
Beaming. Love her. She's Anna was my hero idol. I'm like just sitting here smiling because I love
screamed.
Her.
She screamed. She thought, I didn't know what you were screaming about. I was like, what?
Is there a murder? No, it's just my girl Lottie Stockwell. I love Lottie.
Yes. She came. She said hello.
She made me so happy.
She got some Bluebell ice cream on
she
her way
did.
Out.
I love that.
She stuck her tongue out at me, which is the proper response.
It's the proper response.
Yeah.
Just shout out to Lottie Stockwell. So, I love her.
Yeah, absolutely. So very, very nice. She must have been in there with an innocent biscuit over there on the drive. All
makes
right.
Makes sense.
Let's not keep our guy Jack Grossman waiting too long. Jack Grossman, Field of 68. Floyd Street's finest down in Atlanta. Jack, how are you, my friend?
Man, I'm doing great. You mean Lottie Stockwell wasn't trying to get on with you?
No,
we should have asked her.
Well, I don't know how that would have went.
It would have just been me asking Lottie, like, what do you want to hang out?
Yeah, no, it would have been like a fangirl.
That's what it would have been.
Fangirl segment with
what's
Anna.
What's your nail polish?
Yeah, no, she like I said, Jack, she stuck her tongue out at me, so I guess that means no interviews.
My freaking girl.
She didn't want to take part of Weird Wednesday?
No, she didn't. She would have loved Weird Wednesday today. We talked about us government documents becoming declassified. it was great, Jack. So how are you doing? Are you still mourning the basketball season being over and everything? There no more basketball. You're just full on baseball now. How's Jack Grossman doing? How's he handling no more Dan Hurley, John Shire, Mike Woodson? How you doing?
I mean, I think we've officially entered the off-season mode. I mean, the coaching carousel's kind of running scores. I've kind of had my week of, well, what do I do now? Because, like, you wake up that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday morning after the title game, and you're just like, huh, it just seems so empty. There's just nothing going on now. What am I supposed to do? Get fully invested in April baseball? And I love baseball, but, like, it's just such a different dynamic than, March Madness and everything with that.
Right.
But now, we've got the portal going in full swing. We got recruits coming in. I mean, locally in Louisville, Kentucky Derby's in a couple weeks, so people start to get in with the Derby Festival and all that stuff. So it starts picking back up again. Yeah, so I'm doing great, guys. That was a very long way to say. I'm doing good. Excited about the portal stuff. very long-winded as usual. I still need to be better about that.
No, you're fine. We love it. Absolutely. Jack Grossman with us. So, I mean, let's start with Louisville. I mean, some big-time visits on the horizon, namely Jaden Quaintance on campus tomorrow with Pat Kelsey. They did get Javon Hadley yesterday. I mean, a good player out of Colorado. So they had their College of Charleston guys, but it seems now that Pat Kelsey's trying to branch out and land some bigger fish. What do you think about the type of guys that he's getting to get on campus, who's visiting? And I mean, Pat Kelsey definitely swinging for the fences here early on in the portal.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he didn't get Umar Ballo, but you knew that was going to get mentioned at some point with me, Chuba.
Oh, I knew that was coming. Yeah. I set it up on a tee for you.
yes, you did. But I mean, if anyone cares, Indiana's been phenomenal with the portal all this week, and I think they're about to add another piece. But Javon Hadley's a very, very good get for Pat Kelsey. It starts to break away from kind of, as you said, that mold of bringing in a couple of Charleston guys that you get right off the bat know you're going to get, just because, let's face it, Louisville needs bodies. Literally every scholarship player, except for like Hersey Miller, which I don't even remember if he was on scholarship or still a walk-on anymore, is in the portal. So you're going to need bodies of all sorts of types.
Right.
You get a couple guys from Charleston that will know your system, that can be, some good role players for you. That's great, but you're going to have to get some studs as well. And Javon Hadley is a guy that's played Power Conference basketball, started for an NCAA tournament team, gives you length, gives you shooting ability, and gives you experience. That's a pretty good add. I mean, that's the type of guy you're looking to add from the transfer portal. Obviously, if they were to get JQ, that would be a big splash. Boogie Fland, I know, has been mentioned as well. Now that he's reopened his commitment with Cal, going from Kentucky to Arkansas, to where, good. I mean, that's what you should be doing. You should be trying to swing for the fences a little bit. Do more than what Cam Drummond's been terming it as the mid-major all-star.
The mid-major Mormon all-stars.
On that, and if they get the Colorado guys, they get either JQ or Fland or one of these other dudes they're going after, that might blow up in his face a little bit pretty quickly.
That puts a new name to the Redeem team, doesn't it?
I think it's the mid-major all-stars and the Mormon men are what we're going
with
now.
Oh, my God.
Between Louisville and Kentucky. But, yeah, no, it's not unexpected to see Kelsey to start to, branch out a little bit more from kind of that, mid-major, low-major guys, and try to get one or two dudes, because, like I said, he has a lot of guys to follow. Terrence Edwards was again a really good get from James Madison as well, but you're getting the visits, you got to get the commits though, and lock them up and sign the deal, and that'll be the next big step for him.
Jack Grossman with us, Field of 68, Floyd Street's finest. All right, now let's get to the Kentucky side of things. Jack, I mean, obviously, he doesn't really have anyone on his roster except for Colin Chandler. That's the guy that followed Mark Pope from BYU. But as everyone knows, and we've said it ad nauseum, he's been gone for 2 years. His tape is very impressive. Obviously, he was a top 40-ish, 30-ish recruit, four-star, high-caliber four-star, almost on that five-star level. But, I mean, it's going to take maybe a while for him to get back into basketball shape, obviously. Some other names, Jack, that had been thrown out there for Mark Pope, have been Ali Khalifa. It's another BYU guy. Doesn't really do much for me. Jacoby Coles from TCU. Mari Williams from Drexel. But then you have your Jeremy Roaches of the world, who's, involved with Kentucky, St. John's, and Arkansas. Then you have Javon Small, who is a very good guard out of Oklahoma State. Andre Stojakovic, five-star McDonald's All-American. Liam McNeely, five-star All-American. Just a few names. I don't throwing a lot at you, but those are, and then Kobe Brea from Dayton, who shot 49% this season. So that's the type of the player that Mark Pope has been targeting early. Thoughts on these early targets and what they'll do in Mark Pope's system if one or any of them commit at all?
I mean, first of all, man, that's a very big pivot from five-star McDonald's All-American.
Yeah.
Well, how's this kid gonna you know, readjust the mask watch or be on a Mormon mission.
Very different conversation.
That's your life now, Treble.
I know. Jack, I'm trying. I haven't told you this yet, but two things. It is my life now, and I'm trying to get used to it. Anna and David Sisk have both tried to talk me off the ledge and try to bring me around. I did buy a Mark Pope t-shirt from Home Field Apparel.
Jack is dying.
I'll send you a picture of the shirt. And then, and then, Jack, I joined the Club Blue today, the Pope.
Oh, NIL. No.
41 a month, Jack.
Jack cannot handle it.
Because his number is 41, Jack.
Duh.
No, of course it is. Of course.
First I love all, Jack's laugh so much.
Say, before we get into anything else with, like, Kentucky and all that we sat here, like, two and a half weeks ago, whenever it was, before we knew Calipari was leaving for Arkansas and all that stuff, we were talking about Louisville and how Louisville fans always buy into the coach no matter what. And you asked me, what would Kentucky fans do if Calipari left? And, oh, my God, you sent me the shirt.
Jack, buy it. We'll all be matching.
Come on, Jack. Anna's going to get one. Please.
Oh, that's hilarious. I have a cousin that would probably like that.
Send it to your dad, but, Ken Grossman.
Yeah.
I'm crying.
Yeah, first of all, Ken Grossman is about the only person I know that wasn't impressed with Pope's press conference.
No.
Really?
Is he a Cats fan?
Yeah, which is...
Your dad? Like, no, okay. He's an IU.
Okay, he's not. He's like me. He goes both ways with it. And you can, you know, save that for the big game.
He likes Louisville and Indiana, Anna. He likes the Cards and the Hoosiers.
My mortal enemy.
Exactly. Terrible. Terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. But, yeah, no, he was not impressed with folks.
Well, I'm not shocked.
Which honestly kind of stunned me, to be honest, because he, you know, usually, it's like everyone else. But anyway, that was
even with the Patino blessing, like Ken Grossman was even down on it with the Patino.
Stir his emotions.
Yeah, because I know he's a big Patino guy. He didn't follow Lord Patino.
His take was that he doesn't think that Pope has the persona to be the Kentucky head coach.
He may be right.
But I'm like, I think Pope has, while he's not a Patino or a Calipari type when it comes to talking, I feel like he very much has embraced the pressure that comes with being the Kentucky head coach. And, like, while he may not be, you know, again, as pragmatic as those other two guys, he's a dude that is going to be willing to talk to the fans and interact with people. Where it'll be a very different type thing, but, you know, maybe it's more like a Denny Crum type thing, where... Was he, you know, waxing poetically like again, Patino or Cal? No, but he's a guy that the fans rallied around, and obviously he won a crap ton of games. That's the most important thing. If
right.
he's able to do that, everything else falls in place. But anyways, you asked me what would UK do if they had a coaching search and they didn't get a big name and they ended up with a mid-major-ish type coach. I get it, Mark Pope was in the Big 12 with BYU this year, but they were in the West Coast Conference before this past
right.
season. And he was, you know, not, he wasn't Scott Drew. He wasn't Billy Donovan. He wasn't, you know, Danny Hurley, all these other big names that people get floating around. And what'd I tell you? They would hate it for a day or two. Then you would win the presser and everyone would be bought in.
You're right.
And lo and behold, what happened?
Yeah. Yeah.
They announced it's Mark Pope. Everyone's rioting. Twitter's burning down, all that stuff. Barnhart does the KSR interview that buys a bunch of people back in. Then he pops off the bus with the 96 championship team in front of sold out Rupp Arena. And oh my God, everything's perfect. Everything's incredible.
Right.
I need to say my century laugh there real quick. But as far as Kentucky goes, I mean, Jeremy Roach is obviously the name that pops off more than anyone else, just because he's the guy that's been in the Final Four before. He's been at Duke for 4 years. He's played for a blue blood. But, and, you know, he's a really, really good college player. He is a little inconsistent at times, but obviously his name just jumped off the page as far as, like, someone people recognize, someone that, you know, has star power, all that type of stuff. Other than that, I mean, the Stojakovic kid didn't shoot the ball as well at Stanford as people, thought he would, but he obviously has that pedigree being Page's kid and would expect a freshman or sophomore jump there. The Dayton kid shoots the lights out of the ball. He led the country in three-point shooting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're seeing, you know, what the type of guys he wants. I mean, Jeremy Rose didn't fit this model as much, but a lot of dudes that are versatile in terms of they can play different positions, they can shoot the ball, and that really goes into what you want from his offense with Mark Pope. I mean, he wants guys that are going to be able to shoot. Ali Khalifa, even though he only averaged, 5 points per game at BYU last year, he was a point center a lot of the time for BYU. He's a really, really gifted passer as a big man. He's not the type of guy I would expect to be playing 30 minutes per game on a top 10 team by any means, even though he played a lot of bench for a team that was in the top 10 at points last year. But he can be a solid, backup piece for you. The Amari Williams kid at Drexel, now that, again, Indiana has Ballo, they're probably not going to add him either, is another guy that, is more of a modern big. And it's going to be such a shift now. Even last year with Kentucky, when they embraced the three-point shot, we had the discussions all year. It's like, oh, we got the bigs. How do you work the bigs back and all that stuff? There's never going to be that doubt next year with Mark Pope. And with Pat Kelsey as well, with those two guys. These are two dudes that are very committed to playing a very modern style of basketball. And that's one of the most appealing things about both of them for me. Like, they're going to shoot a lot of threes. They're going to play into the analytics side of it. And especially with Mark Pope, you're seeing him try to build out a roster that goes along with it, which I would think he would add some more athletic pieces to it also, just because, again, he was recruiting to BYU before.
Right.
The Mormon men that had to go on the two-year mission, that was pretty much the only option he had. Now, you get a couple of those guys, too, to come to Kentucky and all that stuff, but it's a hell of a lot easier to recruit to Kentucky and the SEC than it is, again, until last year. He was recruiting to the West Coast Conference and all the obstacles he had at BYU. So I would expect there to be, trying to mention he's not going to be doing the Calipari thing with a bunch of top 10 dudes or anything like that. But maybe you get one or two highly rated guys in mid-season with dudes that are going to be there longer and really try, look, the thing is, get old and stale. That's what's popular in college basketball right now. I think Mark Pope's set up to be able to do that better than, honestly, Calipari is in this day. It'll be interesting to see what happens and how quickly he'll be able to get off and running because, year one, it's hard to do that as quick as probably what people want him to. But we are seeing the foundation start to be laid there, both at Kentucky and, I think, at Louisville.
Yeah, absolutely. Jack Grossman with us. Last thing before we let you go here, Jack. You better than anybody. Everybody's always talking about how they, this player was going to fit great in Mark Pope's system, or this player is going to fit wonderfully in Mark Pope's system, or I can't wait to see the way this guy plays in Mark Pope's offense. Tell us what Mark Pope's offense is, if you don't mind. Because, look, I think I know what it is, but I know you probably watched more of Mark Pope basketball than me and Anna combined and Zach Cantrell, wherever he is. So fill us in. What exactly can we expect from Mark Pope's offense when it's implemented at Kentucky? What do you see?
Well, let's do this. Tell me what you think it is first, and I can tell you where you're right and where you're wrong.
I think it's the offense we wanted Calipari to run for about five seasons now.
Five out.
Yeah, five out.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. It's a lot of five out. I mean, I just said it. Ali Khalifa played a lot of point center.
Right.
I mean, it's a lot of, positionless basketball on the offensive end especially, to where guys can fill in different roles, be able to do different things. At the end of the day, you got five dudes that are going to be able to shoot the ball at all times. That puts immense pressure on the defense to try to be able to defend them. It just does. It does. And combined with the fact that you can have one or two guys that can beat you off the dribble, which BYU had last year, that's the type of combo you want from an offense of, okay, they can shoot, but you got to protect the lane at the same time. It makes the defense choose where you got to try to stop because you can't stop everything. And throw in the fact that they have immense, incredible ball movement to go on top of it as well makes them really, really, really – really hard to defend. I mean, looking it up this year, I mean, they were naturally, my 10 pounds not working. There we go. They were in the top 10 offensive efficiency this year. They finished 14th, but they've been consistently in that top 10, 15 every single year. And that's going through the Big 12. I mean, you talk about the type of teams you had to play in the Big 12 last year, the question of could you step up from the West Coast Conference and run that offense against, the Houstons and the Iowa States. Well, guess what? They went to Iowa State out in Utah.
Yeah.
And they had an 8-9 point lead in Hilton Coliseum with 6-7 minutes. Other than they peed down their legs again, that is true.
Right.
They outplayed Iowa State, who was the number one defense efficiency-wise in the country last year for 75 of the 80 minutes that they played. They were able to get what they wanted on that end of the floor. They were able to go into Kansas, Fog Allen Fieldhouse, and win. That's probably the hardest thing to do in college basketball right now in terms of road environments. They played with Houston both times. I think they only played Houston once. They played them in Utah. And
They lost by 7 or something?
Yeah, they took it down to the wire. So, you saw that offense when it's clicking, when he has the personnel he wants, and when it's working well, it works. And it works against the highest level of competition. Just the question is, how long does it take him to get to that point at Kentucky? How do you see a bump in recruiting, the different types of guys that you now have the possibility to get at Kentucky? How do you work that into the system? And how long does it take you to get that going? Because he had been at BYU for a long time.
Yeah.
You're not going to get, 5, 6, 7 years to institute and get something going. You're going to have to hit the ground. And that's something that Pat Chelsea's been very cognizant of with Louisville for both these teams. This is Louisville and Kentucky. This isn't Charleston and BYU. You don't have time. You gotta hit the ground running and
absolutely
get going pretty quickly here. So we'll see if both those guys really can do that.
All right, two questions from the text line. First one, can you ask Jack who's dorkier, Thomas Creamy or Pat Kelsey?
I didn't have to say it.
They're on a pretty similar level, man. They are. Like Green, though. If Kelsey's winning, people will buy in and they'll love it.
You love you some Tom Crean. All right, last one. Jack, is Travis Perry and Reed Sheppard coming back, in your opinion?
Well, Pope, mentioned Travis Perry by name in the presser, right?
Yeah, he did. He's not decommitted yet. He's the only one in the class that has decommitted. The thought is he'll be on the roster next year, yeah.
Awkwardly, yes.
Yeah, first of all, he's great shooter, all that stuff. So I think he fits what Mark Pope likes to do better than Calipari's system. And if the coach is mentioning the kid by name in the presser, you can't do that unless he signed a national letter of intent and is actually on the roster.
Right.
So I would be stunned at this point if Travis Perry wasn't at Kentucky just based off of what Pope said about him at the presser, the fact that he talked about him at all. Reed Sheppard, that's the multi-million-dollar question.
Right.
I mean, he's the home state kid, local hero, all that stuff. And if he came back, I think you mentioned this last week, he'd probably be the highest paid NIL player in college basketball. However, what would that number be? Somewhere like 2, 3, 4 million, whatever that would be. That's a lot of money.
Right.
Don't get me wrong, but that pales to compare what he could make as a top 10 NBA draft pick. I mean, you're probably making 10, 11, 12 million at that point per year with that draft pick. And he's in a spot right now to where this draft class is historically weak. It is about as weak of a draft class we have ever seen.
Yes, it's bad.
Combined with the fact, so that says, okay, draft stock probably isn't going to be any higher, plus the fact that if he comes back another year, he'll be a year older, and that matters way more than it should when it comes to the NBA draft and drafting players. To where you're at a point where his draft stock, based off of age and the draft class, is never going to be any higher than what it is right now. If you're going to cash in and get that, this is your chance to do it. But you could also come be the in-state hero for another year, really go from being, oh yeah, the local kid, he has a lot of fun on that team, but then there's always the asterisk of losing to Oakland, to, okay, what if he comes back next year and they make a deep run and he's the star of all of it? That's where you go to a different level of a stratosphere of icon, as he probably knows, since his dad was on, championship teams at UK as well, and just building the legacy and all that stuff. So I don't know what the right answer is. I don't know what he's going to do, but there's very appealing arguments on both sides there for Reed Sheppard. No matter what he does, he's going to be making a lot of money next year to play basketball. And I wish I was in that spot.
Absolutely. All right, Jack Grossman, appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you soon. When news breaks and stuff like that next week, I'll let you know and maybe continue having some conversations. Appreciate it, Jack. Thank you.
Sounds good. Anytime, guys. And also, last thing.
Yeah.
I mean, Woodson, we counted him all for dead. He pulled the Calipari magic.
He did. He pulled a magic trick. He got some guards. He got a good player from our Arizona.
The portal. Miles Rice is a stud guard. I think they're about to get Connor Siegen, who's a sharpshooter from Wisconsin. They're supposed to get the Stanford kid also.
Whoa!
Cautiously optimistic.
You're buying back in the way I'm buying into Pope, Jack. You're buying back into Woody. Let's go. Let's buy it together.
All right. Appreciate you guys.
All right.
Love you, Jack.
All right. See you, Jack. Take care, buddy. Jack Grossman there.
Good stuff, as always.
As always. Now, we were talking before. We're going to take our break, come back, and we're going to play Mark Pope's appearance from SportsCenter.
It's
about 4.5 minutes. We'll play it, react to it. But we were talking before. Greg Doyle, who's an indie star reporter, made an ASS of himself up in Indy today. As Caitlin Clark was drafted number one overall to the Indiana Fever, and had a really, I'm not going to play the interaction over radio because it's really cringy, like really cringy. But apparently Greg Doyle stood up, made that little heart symbol that she makes.
Same one as Taylor Swift does.
Exactly. The little heart symbol. She does it with after every game. Yeah. He does that. Then Caitlin Clark says, "You like that?" And Greg Doyle repeats, I like that you're here." Caitlin says, "Yeah, I do that at my family after every game." Reporter, "Start doing it to me and we'll get along just fine." Caitlin Clark gives him a look like, "You're kidding me." This is what Kyle Tucker said. I think Kyle Tucker's spot on here. He goes, he said, "Beyond the yuck factor here, I just need people to stop thinking the press conference is performance art. Just ask your damn question."
That's a beautiful way to put it. You're not there to look smart. You're not there to be...
You're not the star.
What a brilliant journalist.
Right.
No. But that... I read that a reporter did that, and then Zach EC told me it was Greg Doyle. I have read so many of his columns that I had a lot of respect for him as a journalist.
Yeah, he's
out the window.
Yes.
He's like a really great wordsmith, all out the window. I will never read another one of his articles. To make somebody feel that uncomfortable.
She looked uncomfortable.
And she should.
Yeah.
But like, if that doesn't tell you everything, and you know what spoke the most to me about that interaction was that she ended it with like a smile on her face and just like, that's how all women feel. Like, I'm just going to end this in a pleasant way. You made an ASS of yourself.
Yeah.
And I don't want to cause a scene and I don't want to look bad. So I'm going to end it with a smile. That makes me sad for her. And he should be banned. He should be banned from covering the Indiana Fever. How dare you?
Yeah.
It
was really, odd and awkward.
And I love how people act like women reporters are just trying to get into a locker room to hit on somebody. Please.
And what was Greg Doyle doing? Text her the salary for the number one pick in the NBA, makes $4.4 million in his first year. It's the number 10 pick. Yeah, I look, again, I'm expecting Reed Sheppard
and
to commit.
Okay, well, women's. I thought they were going with
No, they're talking about just Reed Sheppard, okay. The money difference. Yeah. He's like top five.
Reed Sheppard should go.
Yeah, he's going to go. Text her, let's see here. Going back to Anna's comment yesterday, Travis Perry voluntarily went to the press conference and still signed and showed up in a UK shirt. He was asking for that.
No, he was, but like, I'm not just making this up out of nowhere. He was interviewed after and they asked him about his status and ability and everything like that, and he just said, "I'm still making decisions." Like,
right.
I didn't make that up.
No,
they
he
asked
did,
him
yes.
that after.
Absolutely.
But I would assume by all means that
he'll
he's
be
coming back.
On Kentucky's
I don't think Mark Pope ever would have made that comment if it were a question.
If he didn't think that he wasn't coming. I would hope
not. Good Lord.
But he did. But he did say he did say the Shepherd will lead us thing.
Yeah, that was cringe, dog. That was not cool.
Texter, whoa, buddy. Wonder what Doyle's internet I can't talk. Whoa, buddy. What wonder what his internet search history looks like. Greg Doyle. Talk about Greg Doyle. Don't want to know. Don't want to know.
Protect
our women. Yes. Texter. That's it. Okay. So let's take a break on the other end. We'll play this Mark Pope sound. Hey, if you want to win VIP tickets or maybe a VIP tickets, I can't talk, or maybe a car, sign up. Yeah. VIP tickets. Sign up for your chance to win the ultimate VIP Kentucky Derby Festival experience and get your lucky duck for a chance to win amazing prizes from Harbor House. So go to 502hip.com, 812hip.com, or go into one of the stores and sign up today for an ultimate VIP experience for the Kentucky Derby. And all that VIP experience starts on April 19th. So go ahead and do it now. While you're in there, check out their CBD product. Take out their hemp products, their Delta 8, their Delta 9. You don't need a medical card. It's all legal. It's all organic. It's all safe. They're the official CBD and hemp provider of the Kentucky Derby. They're going to have a booth out at Thunder over Louisville. So stop by, say hello, and what they can do for you. Heck, instead of, you know, drinking alcohol and doing all that and feeling like yucky after the Thunder over Louisville, check out what they had to offer you with their products and enjoy the fireworks. They'll pop a lot louder and a lot brighter than they usually do. So go ahead, check them out, 502hip.com, 812hip.com. My brain has been trained for off-season excellence for 15 years. Kenny Payne so far has had a much better off-season than John Calipari.
He just has. There it is.
You're listening to the Round Table with Round Daddy. Now here's Round Daddy, James Strebel.
I love her. She's my idol.
Oh, hello. Okay. We're back.
Whoa, we're back. We're just talking about Diana Taurasi in the break.
We were.
We really were. She's my idol. She's my everything.
It's a round table. ESPN 680. One of us. I just asked why she was being rude to Caitlin Clark.
And I said it's acceptable because you would never expect men to be friendly and be all debutante and polite towards NBA.
That's
rookies.
True. But like if NBA guys like watching like players on the, and there's some, you're right, there are a lot of players that are like that. But if you had like a split screen thing, the way that she was doing, and like they're watching her play, and like the entire time, like this just all nasty towards
her. That's just DT. She's like that with everyone, though. Ask Bird, she'll give you your nice political answer. But I just hate that we'd be like, these WNBA players are being so jealous and conniving. It's like, no, you're just expecting that because they're a lady and they're a girl, and you want to expect them to be like, let's welcome her. It's like, no, dog, they're competitors.
They are competitors.
And they've had to be even more competitors because no one's ever given them respect.
You should have heard how the Cleveland Cavaliers responded when LeBron came in the league. Ricky Davis, like, oh, he's another guy who's going to help me score. Oh, we got three or four guys that are better at his position.
But look at the Indiana Fever pressure, though. They all loved that Caitlin Clark was there. So I get Diana's. Because also, Diana was like one of the most dynamic college basketball players ever of all time. So I get why she's just like, whatever. This girl's getting all the credit right now.
Sure.
I know Caitlin's the leading scorer in all of women's college hoops, D1. But, like, I get it. And I just, like, love that fire from her. I'm like, don't make it easy, girl.
I hope Caitlin Clark puts 50 on her.
Ouch.
I'm sorry.
I hope they both do well.
It just rubbed me the wrong way.
I love all of them.
I was like, why
are
you being so hateful?
And they don't owe you to be nice. They don't owe you to be nice.
That's fine.
They don't owe you to be a lady.
It's not about being a lady. It's just about, it's like I said, so for instance, if I was watching a men's basketball game, and let's say that John Wall was out there and he's watching the game and he's watching, I don't know. I mean, who is a great basketball player recently?
Like John Morant.
John Morant. Yeah, he watches John Morant. And he's like, well, he could do this at Murray State, but once he gets
in the NBA.
But I'm saying, like, well, John Morant was playing, though. Like, John Wall was still playing.
But, like, barely.
Okay, then I'll use another example. I'll use Jimmy Butler.
Okay.
Jimmy Butler goes on there, and he's like, he stinks, he's a bum, he's going to get it next year. I'd be like, why you got to be like that? I mean, like, we're watching this dude play right
but
now.
You know what,
want to watch that guy play.
Complimentary things. Like, you know it would be fake when they face each other, like, head-to-head. You know it would be like, he's a great guy.
You could be a competitor, and you could be nice. You could be both things.
You have to acknowledge that the women's game is a lot behind, decades behind, and so right now they're still trying to prove their path. It's
sure.
Like, we're not going to be girly and nice to everyone. Welcome into our league. Let's color together.
I'm not saying she should do that.
I know you are.
But she should, like,
at least
respect her game.
Yeah.
At least respect her. She didn't want to respect her game.
You can't
disrespect.
Here's the thing. You can't take anything Diana Taurasi says. She's such a hater to anyone who comes into the
league. I have nothing against her. I think she was great at UConn.
Like, she hates everyone. So it's just like, okay, don't take her opinion as like majority opinion.
I don't think it's majority opinion.
Because even Sue Bird
it changed the way I thought. Well, Sue Bird was on the thing too.
Yeah, she was. But yes. I feel like Sue Bird wouldn't have been like so hateful about it. Because she was even like Paige Beckers or Caitlin Clark. Go ahead, Zach.
I do have one question. And that, like, the WNBA players, not that they shouldn't be mean or whatever, but shouldn't they want Caitlin Clark to be ultra successful? Because that means more ratings, which means higher salaries.
The previous highest viewed in WNBA draft was 601,000. That was 2004-2005 when Diana Taurasi came out.
Yeah.
This past year, literally last week, 2.6 million viewed. And so this makes me mad.
Thank you.
So Caitlin Clark was on SNL, and you have all these people on Twitter being like, she wasn't even on the winning championship team. Like, that's racist that, like, she was selected to be on there and other people weren't. And I understand it's like, okay, you have, like, this white woman who's being, people think she's being the savior of the WNBA, but it's like, it's not about the NCAA anymore. It's not about the national championship. It's about the WNBA draft, and it's about her marketability.
Yes.
And you have to admit, you have to be honest with yourself that she has raised the marketability of sports. You can argue all you want. I think Maya Moore, I think Diana Taurasi, I think Breonna Stewart, and I think Candace Parker, they have been the best, most decorated players in women's college basketball. But you have to acknowledge that something Caitlin has done, and that's white women that came before them too. That's Diana Taurasi, that's Breonna Stewart. But something Caitlin has done, and you have to acknowledge that being the leading scorer in all of women's D1 history has made a huge point too. There's little girls following her around in New York City with her jersey to sign, and I think that makes a big deal too. I don't think it's like any type of big thing. I think it's marketability. I think it helps everyone.
She's not the best player in the history of women's basketball, but I think she might be the most important player because she brought women's basketball into the mainstream.
Yeah, call it what it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you can't get mad at it. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's
that fine. Was my tangent.
Well, it was just one of those things. Like, we were off air, then we were on air. All of a sudden,
I'm sorry. I took that to go.
It's
off.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right, let's play. So Mark Pope was on SportsCenter today.
Yes.
Let's go ahead and listen to what he had to say on SportsCenter, and we'll react to his comments. So let's go.
Let's welcome in the new head coach of the Kentucky Wildcats, Mark Pope. And saying Kentucky fans are excited for your arrival is completely an understatement. More than 20,000 fans showed up for your introductory presser. About 5,000 had to be turned away. How did that reception make you feel?
It's amazing. I say this all the time, especially recruiting for the last few days, but I don't know anywhere else that you can go and work hard with a team and hang a banner and then walk back into the gym 30 years later, and that's the reception you get. That is unique to BBN and the Kentucky faithful, and it just is amazing program to be a part of. There's nothing like it.
The excitement is through the roof out there in Lexington. You also the captain of that 1996 NCAA championship Kentucky team. A theme that continues to come up is that you know the path. You know what it takes to hang banners inside a Rupp Arena. As a coach, how do you plan to get that experience to translate to this team so banner number 9 can be hung in the rafters?
Yeah, I think the first step is knowing what the assignment is, right? We talked about it in the press conference. It's tradition, and it's universal that when you accept a new head coaching job, you try and manage expectations and kind of set a achievable standard, and that just doesn't exist at the University of Kentucky. There's one standard, and it never changes, and that's if you hang banners, you're successful, and if you don't, you're not. And that's one of the things that makes this place special, and knowing that going in and embracing that going in is really a part of what we do.
And you can't talk about Kentucky without talking about Hall of Famer John Calipari, you following in his footsteps. How much does that loom on your mind in conjunction with the expectations to ultimately win a national title?
Well, there's a saying in coaching, in all coaching, but especially college basketball, you never follow John Wooden, right? We're so appreciative of everything that John Calipari did. I'm a diehard Cougar fan as well as a former player, and now the head Kentucky fan is as well as former player and now head coach. John revolutionized a lot of things in the way recruiting's done and style of play in college basketball. What he did at Kentucky is really incredible, so we're all so grateful for that and can't wait to move forward and keep chasing these banners.
And And you mentioned recruiting. John was known for recruiting players that would stay for one season at Kentucky and then get drafted into the NBA. The landscape of college sports has changed so much with the transfer portal and NIL. How does that impact the way you want to build your team for this upcoming season?
Yeah, it is ever changing. We're seeing more the things that change are coming more fast and more fierce than they ever have come before. And so here at Kentucky, it's a really nice mix of bringing in some of the most elite talent that will be certainly guys that play 1 year in college basketball and then go on to have extraordinary NBA careers. And then it's also going to be some guys that are going to stick around for 2 or 3 or 4 years and really kind of grow the program from within. And when you get the right mix of that, that's what leads to championships, and that's what we're searching for.
All right, before we let you go, you said previously that your favorite musician is Taylor Swift. How excited are you for the release of her new album on Friday? Also, how big of a Swiftie are you really? Because Taylor Swift is pretty much taking over the world at this point.
Well, I'm an adopted Swiftie, so I have four daughters. And so I have spent more than my fair share of midnights with album releases, driving through the streets of town, listening to each song one by one with the four girls in the back screaming and shouting and hollering. It's not hard to appreciate greatness, and she sure has achieved that level.
I saw your list of top songs, Taylor Swift songs. They were all deep cuts, so I know that you are knee deep in the Taylor Swift game. All right, Mark Pope.
Well, I got a little help on that list, but I'm going to own it.
You're going to own it. I love it. Own that list. Thank you so much, Mark Pope, for joining us here on SportsCenter.
Okay, so there you go. Mark Pope still not running from the expectations, and I liked what he said about recruiting. You want to get not only portal guys and guys that are going to be there, you know, to help, you know, make your program older, but also getting that elite talent in there as well.
Yeah.
Said things that I want to hear. So I thought overall, good job, even though he did say diehard Cougar.
Hold on there, Mark.
Yeah.
And I'd like to shout out Amina Smith. She's new to SportsCenter. She's one of my friends. She just got there. That was a great interview by her, so
okay.
Shout out to her. But no, I agree, and I think you said everything good. I have some qualms with the Taylor Swift stuff, man, but I get it. His daughters are into it. It was a very cute video at his press conference, his introductory press conference. They had some UK fans making some friendship bracelets for the girls. They were
yes.
so excited by that.
Yes.
So that was very sweet. But no, I think he said it. He hit everything right, and I think that's where I am, and that's kind of reflects in my opinions about bringing Coach O back and bringing in other recruiters. Is like, I just kind of trust him right now implicitly on who he wants to bring in. Mm-hmm. And I include that with the staff that they'll share his vision. So I feel like you don't necessarily need a Coach O, nothing against him, to bring in the type of talent and the type of guys that you want. I think he understands what you need to bring at Kentucky, and some of it needs to be talent, but he's also said before, you need to bring in the right pieces for the team you're trying to build. So that to me doesn't equate that you need like a hyper great bringing every talent in recruiter. You need a guy who has the eye for what you need. And so that's
sure.
Since I trust that, I feel okay with that.
Okay, and speaking of breaking news, new Kentucky head coach Mark Pope is expected to bring his top assistant from BYU with him to Lexington. BYU assistant Cody Fuger is set to join Pope's debut staff at Kentucky as one of his five assistant coaches and one of three recruiters. KSR's Matt Jones was the first to report Fuger will join the staff, and the Cat's Paws can confirm the report. A University of Utah alum, Fuger got his coaching start while a student working as a video coordinator and student assistant with the Utes under both Rick Majerus, who took Utah to the 1998 championship game losing to Kentucky, and Ray Giacoletti. In 2007, Fuger was hired as Louisiana Tech's director of basketball ops and spent four seasons in Ruston working under coach Kerry Rupp. Fuger spent the 2011-2012 season as director of basketball ops as UC Davis, blah, 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 blah. What kind of recruiter is he? When Pope was named head coach at Utah Valley State ahead of the 2015-16 season, Fuger followed him, joining him as an assistant coach. He stayed in 14-17, Fuger worked with the Utah Jazz during the summer camps to help run the organization. Figure will be the first piece of Pope's debut coaching staff in Kentucky, which can include up to 5 full-time assistants with 3 able to recruit along with the head coach. Pope is not expected to retain any members of John Calipari's coaching staff from last season. As CBS's Matt Norlander reports, Calipari's staff of Orlando Tigua, Jen Coleman, Bruiser Flint, and Chuck Martin are all expected to follow him to Arkansas, while Fresno State has hired him to John Wells' staff. The last part of that, maybe not as true. Jen Coleman is with Cal.
Yeah.
Because he was at the overtime elite thing with John Calipari last night. So he was so at least Chin's with him, which is surprising. I thought he hated Chin.
And also
because they were always screaming at each other.
Always.
Yeah.
But also, I just feel like Chin, I guess I would have thought more my hindrance of that would have been, I thought Chin and O were more of a package deal.
I did too. Because
they came from Illinois together.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I don't know. I'm not shocked by it. I just didn't read into any of those coaching rumors. I know there was that one clip of Cal yelling at Chin on the bench, what have
you.
But Chin has been very vocal about how he respects Cal as the best in the game, Hall of Famer, best to ever do it. I just don't buy into the narrative that it was Cal's coaching staff at all that was ever the problem. It's like, dog, they can't do what he doesn't give them space to do. He is the guy in charge. So I don't think it's ever been a staff issue at all. I know we talked about this a few weeks ago.
Yeah, because, I mean, the amount of times he's changed the staff and things remain the same,
really
it doesn't really matter.
And just with this staff, this most recent staff for Cal at Kentucky, I thought it was going to make really good changes. So the staff is the staff. They're all yes men.
They know. Look, as long as they follow Calipari, they know they're going to get paid.
They know where their bread is buttered.
Exactly. They're going to get paid. They know they're going to be in the national spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all there is to it.
It's almost like they have bullet points and press conferences to it. It's like, he's great. He's awesome.
He's great. He's fantastic.
We're going to execute.
All right, let's read some text here before we get out of here. Texter, where else is Chin going? LOL.
Good question.
Texter, my God, Pope life seems miserable. Suck listening to Swift. Otherwise, he puts me to sleep talking. He's a stick in the mud.
Okay.
Texture, Greg Doyle failed in his first time talking to a woman. Shouldn't have used his bar pickup line in a press conference. Agreed.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
I'm a mad.
Texture, Sports Center had some nice layups for Popey Boy. Of course they did. What do you think? You think that they're going to like hold his feet to the fire? It's Sports Center. It's a Sports Center interview. Of course. By the way, I was doing this while the Mark Pope sound was going. I went and I looked at Greg Doyle's Twitter page.
Tell me more.
I mean, it's a lot of Caitlin Clark.
it's
kind of creepy.
That makes me so uncomfortable and sad.
It's just like,
because I'm not gonna lie, like, as a woman, it makes you rethink every interaction that you have. Like, especially that's a journalist I really respected. I'm like, was this guy thinking weird stuff the whole time?
I mean, there's one, two, let's see here, one, two, three, four, five, six.
Do you think he'll face repercussions professionally? From Indy Star?
Nine Caitlin Clark tweets.
in a row?
Gross.
Not in a row, but in all.
Which can be good, but then that just furthers the thing of, like, are you really a women's sports fan, or are you being a weirdo?
Are you being weird?
Like,
no.
And it just makes me rethink, like, people I really respect professionally. Like, he's one of them. Like, I got an Indy Star subscription because I enjoyed reading some of his work. That's being canceled. I'll never read it again. And it's like,
have I ever met you?
What kind of weird stuff would you be thinking?
I never was a big Greg Doyle fan. I feel validated.
Yeah, you're right.
There you go.
I never read.
I didn't have a take on Greg Doyle.
I just liked his writing.
One way or the other.
Yikes.
He used to work for CBS, I think.
Yeah, and he's a dad. I wonder if he has daughters.
Yeah.
That would be horrific.
I don't know.
Well, most of the creepy guys who harass women online have their daughters like in their Twitter bios.
In their
pictures.
Exactly.
A lot of them
I'm
going
to drink bleach.
our good friend Samson, he texted in a GIF of Fez from That 70s Show doing a heart saying, I love you.
Yes!
Greg Doyle at the
Clark presser.
Yes. Texter,
so bad.
Has Pope met with Wagner? Wagner? I have no idea. That's a great question. I know he met with Zvon Maria Vesic. I don't know if he's met with a Duthiero or DJ Wagner, Burks, Jordan Burks, or anybody else for that nature. So, yeah, we'll see. All right. Good show today. It's a fast show.
Yeah.
We had a lot going on. You know, we'll continue to follow this. I'm glad now that maybe there is at least one name. I mean, I got to be honest. I don't know anything about Dan Fugger.
I'm going to keep it real with you all.
Yeah, I don't know anything.
It's confessional.
The first time I ever heard his name was just now.
Me too. I just Googled him.
Yeah, Dan Fugger's on the staff.
Yeah, I did not know that. I'm just now hearing about it for the first time.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we kept getting these nuggets like this staff. You just wait till this staff's assembled. It's gonna blow your mind. It's gonna be the greatest staff ever.
Phil Jackson, everyone.
The first one, Dan Fugger, huh?
Like, all right, like,
okay.
Let's Google that.
Okay.
How many vowels are in that? First of all,
$41 a month, Anna. That's what I'm proud of. What I'm invested in.
And
now.
I'm not following suit, but I'm proud of you.
I'm glad you're not, because I may regret it. But
that's okay. I like that you're trying.
I'm trying.
That's what I was trying to say earlier.
I'm trying. I just unplugged my headphones. Texter, last text here. We'll get out of here. Texter, I respected Greg Doyle as a journalist. Now look at him as a dude who has the hots for, I'll leave the rest of it. But just leave that alone there.
Also, she's like a child.
I know, she's young. It was weird. The whole thing was weird. I mean, that's like the number one trendy thing on Twitter right now.
And that's also just like the street being a woman in sports. Like, you think you're having a normal professional interaction, and then it's like all this weird stuff in their brain.
The first thing the guy does is throw the heart sign at him.
Stop.
Oh, Vito Tisdale's back in the transfer portal. Imagine that.
Didn't he go? Where did he go?
Colorado.
That's
he
what
went
I
with Dion. Yeah, Dion. He went with Dion, and he didn't play at all.
Is Kavassier Smoke still there, or is he done?
He was in college for 18 years.
I
think last year was
that
his
man
COVID
is my
year.
Age. It's like, baby, indeed.com, honey.
Right. All right, let's go ahead and get out of here. Thank you, Anna. Thank you, Zach. Back at it tomorrow. We'll have the Blitz. Andy Sweeney here on the Roundtable.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.